One day, when Moses had grown up, you remember that he was found by Pharaoh's daughter in the bulrushes, in the basket, and how he grew up, first part of his little life, with his mummy and daddy, who taught him about the ways of God, and then he was raised by Pharaoh's daughter in the palace of Pharaoh, while all the other Israelites were having to work as slaves. Well, when Moses was grown up, he went out among his fellow Hebrews, and he saw how they were labouring. He saw an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew, one of his relatives. He looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was nobody near, he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. Now, what we should learn from that is that we should not just be caught up with enjoying ourselves, but sometimes we should just stop and think that there are other people who are humans like us who are going through tremendous suffering right now. So instead of just enjoying the nice soft life in Pharaoh's palace, he thought about God's people. He thought about how other people were suffering and were not having such a nice soft life as he was having in the palace. So he killed the Egyptian and hidden the body in the sand. When he went out the next day, he saw two Hebrew men fighting each other, and he said to the one who was in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your own brother?" And the man replied, "Who made you a prince and a ruler over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses feared, because he said to himself, "This thing that I have done is known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses escaped from Pharaoh and ran away and lived in the land of Midian. He sat down beside a well. There was the priest of Midian called Reuel, and he had seven daughters, and they came to get water from the well and to take water to water their father's flocks. But some shepherds came and tried to drive them away. Moses stood up for them and helped those women and watered their flock for them. When they came home to their father, Reuel, who is also called Jethro, he asked them, "How have you come home so early today?" So it seems that quite regularly these shepherds used to come and drive away these women from the well so that they could get to the well and use the well first themselves. And the girls replied, "An Egyptian came and protected us from those shepherds, and he also drew the water for us and watered the flock." Now, Moses wasn't an Egyptian. He was a Hebrew. He was one of God's people. But he looked like an Egyptian,
because he had been raised like an Egyptian.
That's right. And that's why Egypt kind of represents the world. And on the outside, we all look like just ordinary worldly people. But there's a big difference, because we are God's special people. And just like the Israelites at times looked like Egyptians, like Moses looked like an Egyptian, but in his heart he wasn't. And that's what we've got to be like as we're in this world. So their father asked the girls, "Where is this man? Why did you leave him behind? Invite him to come and eat with us." Moses was glad to live with this man, and the man gave Moses his daughter Zipporah as his wife. And Zipporah and Moses had a son, whom Moses called Gershom, which means, "I am a stranger here," for he said, "I have been a stranger in a strange land." So we should always be aware that somehow we're strangers, that even though we've got friends and we do things in the world which other people do, because we're just human beings, we always feel that this isn't quite me. You can't quite explain it, but there's this feeling that I'm not quite at home here. And that funny feeling that you can't really explain, this comes from this feeling that we are God's people, and that we are going to live forever in God's kingdom. And so in this life, in the world in which we live, we are strangers. It's all a bit odd. Although we know it well because we come from here, yet it's all a bit odd because we're moving on a journey towards God's kingdom. It happened that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, died, and yet the children of Israel were still kept in slavery, and in their terrible suffering they cried out, and their cry came up to God. He heard their groaning, and he said that he would remember his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He looked down upon his children of Israel, even though they were very weak and believing in the gods and idols of the Egyptians, and he felt pity for them. Moses, as we said, was keeping the flock of the father of his wife out in the desert, and he led the flock to the mountain of God, to Horeb, or Sinai. And there, an angel of God appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses noticed that the bush was burning with fire, but it was not destroyed. So he thought, I'll just go and look at this great, wonderful sign and try to understand why the bush is not burnt up by that fire. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside and paid attention, he called to Moses from the middle of the bush, Moses, Moses. Here am I, answered Moses. Take your shoes from off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. So he took his sandals off. And the voice continued, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. He wasn't God himself, it was the angel who was representing God. And God said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have listened to their cries because of how they're being beaten. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of Egypt into a land that is good and large, flowing with milk and honey. And I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people out of Egypt. But Moses said to the Lord, Who am I that I, Pharaoh, and that I should lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? God promised him, Surely I will be with you, and this will be a guarantee that I have sent you. When you've brought forth the people from Egypt, you will worship God upon this mountain of Sinai. But then Moses again said to the Lord, this is another excuse, But if I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? What shall I tell them? And God said, You will tell the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Yahweh is my name for ever, and by this I shall be known to all generations.
He didn't seem like he knew very much. I mean, like, he didn't even know what to say when they said, What's his name? Then.
Yeah, well, I think Moses was trying to make excuses, like we try and make excuses that often don't, as we say, hold a lot of water. So God went on and said, Go and gather the elders of Israel together. They will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel will go to Pharaoh and say to him, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. And we ask you to allow us to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to worship the Lord our God. And I know, the angel said, that the king of Egypt will not let you go. And then I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, and after that he will let you go. Then Moses said, But they will not believe me, nor listen to my voice. God said to him, What is that in your hand? A rod, replied Moses. So cast it on the ground, said God. Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran away from it. But God then said, Put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So Moses put out his hand and caught the snake, and it became a rod again in his hand. And God said, So the people may believe that the Lord, God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Then further, God said to Moses, now put your hand inside your chest. And he put his hand against his chest. And when he took it away, he saw that his hand was white as snow, as if it had leprosy on it. And the Lord said, put your hand against your chest again. He put his hand against his chest once more. When he took it out, it had become like his other flesh. God said, it shall happen that if they will not believe nor listen because of the first sign, that they will believe the second sign. But if they will not believe either of these two signs, you shall take water from the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water from the river will become blood upon the dry land. But still Moses said to the Lord, this is awful, he was very argumentative, O my Lord, I am not a good speaker, I was never, and I am not since you have spoken to me. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb dumb, the deaf deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Isn't it I, the Lord? I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you shall say. Finally, Moses said, O my Lord, send, please, by someone else. God became angry with Moses. He's very, very patient with him, with all these silly excuses. And he said, is not Aaron your brother? I know that he can speak well. And he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. He will speak for you to the people. He will be like your mouth, and you will be like in the place of God for him. And you shall take this rod in your hand to do signs with it.